And you're very welcome back to Screggan in County Offaly and to the vast site which is host to the 94th National Ploughing Championships. We are calling it Ireland's Davos. It's where farming meets business, meets politics. But unlike Davos, it is full of children and teenagers as well, making it a truly multi-generational event. It is 3 days full of crack, kiol, agus cainch. Day two is getting underway. Nearly 80,000 people filled this site yesterday. They're expecting the same and maybe even more today. It is one of Europe's biggest outdoor events, and they're coming through the gates as we speak in their hundreds, preparing for another fun day. Well, the site is filled with over 1,500 stands selling everything from Hurleys to fashion, modular housing, botanical joint support ointments, some of the finest foods as well by this country's top producers. We saw a stand called Pimp My Pooch to keep your dog looking at their most stylish, of course, in their very favourite GAA jersey. And that's before we even talk about the very shiny tractors, the slurry tanks, the diggers, the cranes and the ploughing itself. We're here in the RTE tent. It's a giant circus-like structure. Plenty of comfy seats. We've heat, all important this autumn morning. Tea and coffee nearby. Do come and say hello. We would love to meet you. We're joined now by the Agriculture Minister, Martin Hayden, Fine Gael TD for Kildare South. Martin Hayden, you're very welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Audrey.
And you were here yesterday. You're coming back today. You'll have heard many issues being raised with you, I'm sure, from farmers. Top among them, the nitrates derogation. That's a decision that's due at the end of this year. At this point, do you agree that the signs are not looking good, that it will be extended for Ireland alone in the EU?
Well, no, this is my number one priority, as I've outlined since January, in terms of the approach that I have taken, working with colleagues all across Europe and with my cabinet colleagues with the full backing. This is a top priority for the Irish government, that we retain the nitrates derogation. Our 7,000 derogation farmers farm at a higher level with a higher level of conditionality that they sign up to be able to operate at that higher stocking rate, which is really, really important for their
How's it looking at this stage?
Economic viability. And we have a challenge. You know, farmers continue to take a number of measures around improving water quality and are farming very differently today than they were in the past. But the Commission has outlined their requirement now for us to also address compliance with the Habitats Directive. So we are in detailed negotiations with the Commission.
Is that where we might fall down on the biodiversity end of things?
Well, to be clear, we're being asked to do something that no other European country has had to do yet in their farming system around the Habitats Directive. So what we're saying back very clearly to the Commission is how onerous an undertaking this is, and why we are on for doing that. We need them to understand the amount of time that would take.
We're the only country, because we're the only country left in the EU who wants the nitrates derogation extended.
And we're the only country in line to hold on to a derogation. I believe we have a very good chance of holding on to it because of my work and that of colleagues across government to having this as a top priority of government. But the reason that we should still have it is that our farming system is very different in Ireland to most of Europe. You know, we are a country that has a pasture-based system. Irish cows are out on grass on average 240 days of the year, compared to the intensive system across Europe where a lot of those cows don't see the sky too often. It's a very different model, and that's why we've had this derogation for a very long time, and why we should continue to have it in the future. But what the big political ask here in my engagement with the officials, we had senior officials over on Monday in Dublin where I met them and they visited a farm. I meet with Commissioner Roswell of DG Envy in Brussels next week, and I was out in Copenhagen last week as well. We are working really, really intensively to tell that story around the efforts we're making, the ongoing efforts that our farmers are taking, and the positive impact that's having, and the fact that we need time to implement a new approach here that they're looking for.
Another cloud on the horizon is the expected cut to the Common Agricultural Policy budget. Over one third of farm incomes in Ireland come from EU subsidies, and beef, sheep and tillage farmers in particular. They are three sectors that are loss making without those subsidies. What will happen if and when that budget is cut? Will the state have to make up the difference?
So I've said very clearly that, you know, what Commissioner Hansen negotiated during the summer as an opening point as part of the overall multi-annual financial framework budget of 80% of the current budget ring-fenced is a minimum starting point. But it's not enough. And my clear priority here is to fight for, during the ongoing negotiations, is to fight for more money into the CAP fund for our farming and agriculture sector, because it's absolutely pivotal, as you've outlined, to farm incomes viability. If you take the ANC payments that I'm announcing today areas of natural constraints, farmers on more marginal ground, less intensive farming, $183 million in advance payment going out to 87,000 farmers in the coming days. That is critical for their income, to support their farm viability and for the rural economies in which they're in. We have got to get the CAP funding back up to at least 100% of what it is now, and over
But if that doesn't happen, Minister, I'm wondering, will the taxpayer, will the state have to make up that difference if these farmers are going to be encouraged to continue?
So I believe there are a number of avenues across Europe still, and having engaged with Commissioner Hansen on this, he too sees the opportunity for us to chase more money from a European perspective, out of that European element, because otherwise we will be back looking at the national pot and making decisions around how we distribute that money nationally out of the national fund, if that's what is finalised and voted on.
But our negotiating position is weak, isn't it, because our net contribution to the EU is limited?
We are a significant net contributor to the EU, so we are a very strong voice in Europe in terms of that. And this is a point that's made across Europe by the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach, Minister Donoghue as chair of the ECOFIN. We all highlight the fact that the most amount of EU receipts we receive back into Ireland is through the Common Agricultural Policy. And that's money that sustains our rural communities, supports our farmers in the works that they're undertaking, and is absolutely pivotal to us continue to develop and enhance our farming system and the great work that our farmers do all over the country.
Just for the last couple of minutes, you are the Director of Elections for the presidential election for Fine Gael. Your candidate is Heather Humphreys. I want you heard the Tipperary councillor, Mary Hannah Harrigan, there, who voted for Gareth Sheridan, to get his name to the nomination papers. She's a Tipperary councillor. She said she thought otherwise it would be undemocratic, that a three-horse race for the Áras is not enough. She thinks he's a credible candidate. She's fully supporting the Fine Gael candidate, but she wants to give everyone a chance. Is that not fair?
So look, from our perspective, I share the view that Heather Humphreys is a fantastic candidate, and as Director of Elections, you know, I'm dealing with a Fine Gael party here, from our councillors to our TDs and senators to our MEPs and, across
but
the
grassroots.
But what's
wrong with what Councillor Harrigan said there? I mean, isn't she right just to give someone a chance to get their name on the paper?
Well, our clear focus here in Fine Gael is that we strongly believe across all those sectors of the party and the grassroots members that Heather Humphreys is the best candidate, and that is obviously our clear focus. Is
and
to
she
support
does as
her
well, but
those,
she thinks absolutely. It's worth giving everyone a chance if they're credible.
And that's her view, and that's fine for her view. But from our perspective, we make no apology as a party. We engage with the 31 Fine Gael councillor groups all over the summer around the approach to this. We all agreed that we wanted to give our candidate the very best chance and our full support. And that's why we've been singly focused in that. And when you see Heather, whether it's canvassing at the Plowin yesterday in Dublin on Monday or at the Curragh last Sunday and her launch on Saturday, the warmth in which she's been received and the backing she has across the Fine Gael parliamentary party is really, really encouraging.
What
and that's
sanctions
our key
will that councillor face?
Matters like that are a matter for the executive council of the party, and it's not something for me, but we are fully focused on supporting Heather and her campaign in a very positive
way. And just finally, who would you say to Heather Humphreys' supporters to give their number two votes to in the election?
As I said to you, we're completely focused on getting as many number ones for Heather, and she's fairly focused on that herself. She would make a brilliant 10th Uachtaráin na hÉireann, and we're going to do everything in our power to help her in that endeavour.
Agriculture Minister Martin Hayden, Fine Gael TD for Kildare South. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.